I first believed.
Just turn and shake hands with one another as we sing the last one.
When we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. It's good to see each one of you out tonight. If you like turning your scriptures, just turn with us to Revelation 6, and we'll read the first two verses like we read this morning, and then we'll read from 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 through 12. Just remember, pray one for another, and don't forget we have a new book. Don't forget to get you a copy of it before you leave the services tonight. Revelation 6, 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now let's read 2 Thessalonians, begin about the third verse of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now keep in mind, that's how we covered this morning, that only he who letteth, God, will let until he, the church, be taken out of the way. Because Paul said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And he goes on, then shall that wicked be revealed. Right, the church is leaving. See, as she's gone. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, in other words, the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's all just pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering together. We know that we're just a small number of people, but yet we know in the church at Ephesus there was only about 12. And Lord, we know here that we have many needs. We have many things that, Lord, we come to you humbly asking you that you would fulfill our needs. There's sicknesses, there's heartaches and everything else, Lord, among us. There's people praying for their children, children praying for the parents, this and that and the other, Lord, brothers and sisters that we all remember in our hearts. We ask you that you would just come upon the scene and save those that's savable. Heal the sick. Bind up the brokenhearted, because this is the year of liberty. This is the time, Lord, that we know that we have an opportunity to go free. The prophet has told us that to move is on for us, that was thus saith the Lord. But we know that we must be in the move. We know that we must move. That just gives us an opportunity. Lord, help us to take that opportunity and move on with you, irregardless of all circumstances or whatever it faces us. Forgive our sins. Lift us up in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just keep in mind the morning's message now. I've If you want to, I put my title, Brother Colley said he put Mystery of Iniquity on one of them, but if you want to, this will be message number 2 on the first seal, and that's just the way I put it, this morning's message, just put it first seal and then put iniquity in parentheses under there, and that way you'll know what we're driving at, and this will be message number 2 on the first seal, and it'll be called iniquity. See, then the next we'll have to pick up a higher stage, and we'll bring it in to see the Antichrist, and then the false prophet, and then go on into the beast with it. And that way we'll see where the seal is and what the things pertain to. But what did we find this morning now that iniquity is? What did we find that iniquity is? We found that it's knowing to do good and won't do it, or not do it. Or, if you'll read Brother Branham, you'll hear him stating it in other ways, like knowing not to do wrong and go on and do it anyhow. You know, in other words, you know better than to do it, but yet you'll do it anyway. And that is iniquity. Now, what did we find this morning from the psalmist when he was talking about all of us? He said in Psalms 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." In other words, his very beginning, as far back as anything earthly would have to do with it, in the mind of Eve, she received Satan's perverted seed, went forth and had an act, brought forth a child of sin. Because she ought to know better. She was deceived, though. We can't talk about her. We found Adam was not deceived. He walked out willfully, believing that if he left, he might be able to bring her back. He knew better than to do what he done, and he sold a whole human race into reasonings and imaginations and consciences and memories and things. He sold us everyone into what? Iniquity. Because the psalmist said, "Behold," you'll hear Brother Branham say, "born in sin, shapen in iniquity." That's no different than what the Scripture says. The Scripture just says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But you'll hear Brother Branham say, "born in sin, shapen in iniquity, espoused my mother's womb, and went forth a liar." Well, see, that doesn't change what the Scripture said, because it wouldn't be any difference to anybody to understand what that Scripture's saying. It's actually saying that iniquity was the beginning. Iniquity was where that you would be shapen at. That's what causes us to be shapen that way. That's what causes every person we found this morning to be that way. Because Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. And he said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now that mystery's already at work. And only he who letteth will let until he be taken out. Showing the church is here at the time that the mystery of iniquity, not the man of sin sitting in the temple of God in the literal extent of Satan incarnate in the beast in the tribulation period. The church is not here then, but the church is here when this mystery of iniquity is here. Sometimes take a Bible concordance. I got to looking at it, and it was so many of them, I couldn't bring all of them, so I just brought some things along the way to kind of help us sit. Take your Bible concordance sometimes and look up iniquity and how many scriptures they are. And how that I was looking at what, I believe it was Samuel or one of them said, talking about iniquity, he said, "If I've got iniquity in me, if it's found in me, kill me." See, that iniquity's more than what we just think. It's what we find. It's a hideous sin. Now you can say, "Well, Brother Branham says it's knowing to do good and do it not." That's the most hideous sin that could ever be committed. As I said this morning, for me to know better than to do something and then go do it anyhow, how much more of a sinner would that make me? See, how much more would that place me? In a sinful condition. But see, iniquity, knowing better to do it, but you go do it anyhow. Then we found that that mystery of it was that no one through any age knew what that iniquity was. Paul called it by revelation here as a beginning of something, but he still didn't call it the Antichrist. But Brother Branham on the seal book, when he started talking about the mystery of iniquity on where I give you this morning, our 129, 130, 131, he got down there, he said, who is this man? Who is this one? He went a long ways before he picked the thought back up. Then he said, now, you want me to tell you who he is? He said, he's the Antichrist. Now, what if Brother Branham had walked out there and he'd have said, now, you want to know who this white horse rider is? Said, he's the beast. Said, that's who he is, he's the beast. Well, you know, not confusing to each one of us. Not only would that have been so confusing, it's confusing enough until the Holy Spirit reveals it now, for the prophet to say it was the Antichrist. But if he'd have said it was the beast, half of your organizations would have said amen, because they believe the beast over there would finally be some great big thing. But instead, the prophet didn't take it all over there like that. He knew we wouldn't be over there when the beast comes. He knew that we wouldn't see the beast. If we see the beast incarnate there, you know, Satan incarnate and the beast, then we're in the tribulation now. I mean, that's where we'd be at. But we see it in the stages preceding that, and that's what I'm trying to get us now to watch in the opening of the first seal, is how that it starts back here very small and shallow, and it just keeps working its way on through. And then when we leave the world, see, when the church comes in the rapture and leaves the world, it just goes right on the same thing that started back there. Not a different thing coming and going. Everybody's wondered what the mark of the beast is, you know, and they think it's some great King Kong monster walking around on the earth, you know, and destroying people. Well, watch it and you'll see what it is, that it started in heaven. As we covered this morning, when Lucifer just got a little exalted, he knew better than to do that. So what did that put Lucifer in to start with? And then you can see the human race that had come down. That put him in iniquity. He knew better than to do that. But yet he got exalted. And when he did, that iniquity come forth. And then the human race started the same way. And Brother Branham said he's been polluting it ever since. Then surely we're not going to follow the Antichrist through this way and see the things in our time and then look at the beast being something different. The beast will only be the incarnate of what's already come gradually through the ages and time down to it. Just as God doesn't just come down all at once and just incarnate himself in man. When the church fell away, what did it take? Justification in Luther. Sanctification in Wesley. The baptism of the Holy Ghost under the Pentecostals. That's still not the incarnate word. God in the end here, by the breaking of the seals, will come and be the incarnate God in the church. Satan is following behind that. Or gets his example from that. See, God went justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost coming down, whatever you want to bring it. Here comes Satan. What does he do? White Horse Rider, Red Horse Rider, Black Horse Rider, Pale Horse Rider. Different stages of the same devil spirit. But it didn't start out as a man, did it? Started out as just a little saying up in heaven. Watch it in a little bit when we get in the seal book with it under the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Just a little saying. But Satan just started Lucifer, see, the morning star. The son of the morning. That's what he was called. He was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord back in heaven before man ever come into existence. And the scriptures back in Isaiah about 14 said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And it goes on to tell how that he exalted himself to a place that God had to kick him out. Then that's what's happened to the whole human race. That's what's wrong with all of us. We say, "Yes, but Brother Dale, I was born again 2 years, 5 years, 2 minutes, or 50 years ago. And that took care of that." Well, what are we doing here then? That took care of that for the soul, yes. Because you're going to heaven. There's no way you can miss it and go to hell with eternal life. There's no way. You can't put eternal life in hell. God would have to go there if he did. That's why you can't have eternal hell. But see, what is it? If you can't see justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the incarnate God from the seals in the higher order of that, not just Luther teaching justification or Wesley teaching sanctification or the Pentecostals teaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what the prophet has said on it. He said there was a loose ends left there. They didn't preach all of their message. Then it comes under the seal. If you can't see justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under the seals, see, everybody wants to teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost under the seal, well, then you're going to have to teach justification and sanctification under the seal then. They can read where Brother Branham said Jesus Christ revealed in a new birth, and that's under the seventh seal. Well, then you've got to see justification and sanctification under the seals, or you'll never see the Antichrist. I don't care if you want to quote Antichrist, false prophet, beast. Now, you can quote that all day long. It don't mean a thing in the world to you or me, either one. I can talk to you about 5 minutes and find out whether you know anything about the Antichrist. You watch people. Oh, yeah, the Antichrist. That's the Pope. That's that Antichrist. He's the Pope. Well, you don't even know what you're talking about because that's the second stage of the Antichrist. Then showing you don't know what justification and sanctification is under the seals then. But unless you can understand that from the seals, you'll never know what the stages are of the Antichrist because the Antichrist is a perfect copy right after that. We go justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the incarnate Word. Satan, as far as we are here in the world before the rapture, he goes no further than the stage of the false prophet. Is that true? We don't see the beast. We don't see Satan incarnate. So then Satan is following after God. So if God is revealed in the seals that way, then Satan will be revealed in the seals that way. As a copy after God. Why is he coming? Why is he over there on a white horse? Why does he ride a white horse? It's a white righteous church and all, but that's to throw off the second coming of Christ. Because in the second coming of Christ, God rides a white horse. I don't mean horse like get on a horse's back and ride off. Horse is a power. God don't need a horse to come from heaven to earth. I'd like to see a horse that could get here anyway. Satan copies what God has. It's the only way he can go. Then that Antichrist, before you can see the Antichrist, you're going to have to see the mystery of iniquity. Paul said he's already working. And God put it in the Word there through Paul's lips to show us that people would, in the last days, would believe a lie. And he said, Brother Brown said, the lie, the same one he told Eve. Now, what did he tell Eve? What did Satan tell Eve that comes over here in the end time and he tells the same lie to us? Oh, you shall not surely die. In our day, he says, you're going in the rapture. You shall not die. He told Eve, he said, you shall not surely die. He tells them in the end time, you shall not surely die. You're going in the rapture. You believe the message, don't you? That's the same lie. He said, you shall not surely die because God knows in the day you eat thereof, you'll become as God, knowing good and evil. What does Satan say in the end time? You shall not die. You're going in the rapture. You're going to be changed. Ain't it wonderful? We're in a message that's going to change us and we're going to heaven. We shall not die. God knows that the day we eat this word the prophet has brought us, that we'll be as God in human flesh. Come on now. You know it's the same lie that started back there. It comes down here in the end time in a perversion. We will be God in human flesh, but not that way. We'll be God in human flesh when we do become God in human flesh. Not when the devil tells us we're God in human flesh. You see what I'm talking about? You see, we're showing the same lie. I used to wonder how the prophet could say that. I know what it means through the scriptures. I'm not that foolish. I know what it means through the scriptures, the same lie and all like that. But I'd never seen it till just then. The same lie that he told Eve is the same identical lie he's telling right now. He has not changed. It is the lie. He's telling the people of this message, they're in good shape. They're going to heaven. Everything's okay. The day you eat this word, you'll be wise. You'll become as God. Knowing good and evil. And then what do they do? I heard just here a while back, we was talking to some of the brothers in the ministers' meeting. And you know that there's a lot of people across the land that claim to be following this message, started drinking. Now you show me a sinner that knows what alcohol is and let that sinner look at that preacher for about 2 seconds. He knows what's wrong with that preacher. Now when I was a sinner and somebody told me he was a Christian and I saw him acting just like I was acting, I knew what I was and I knowed what he was. Now is that true or not? You see where iniquity comes in? Anybody that drinks knows what causes them to drink. Well, surely then they'd know if I went and got drunk, well, show me in the Bible where it's wrong for me to drink. Garbage can. Forget it. I ain't trying to show you nothing in the Bible tells you. I'll show you Jesus Christ. He don't drink. Oh, he drank wine. Yeah, and he turned the water to it too one day. Let's see you do it. See, that stops it, don't it? That puts the quietus to it. Satan then has to take a back seat and sit down. He don't know what you're talking about. But now watch him. With all lying wonders, all kind of deceiving things, is because that you and I were put under a curse of iniquity. Now we talk about visited iniquity. Like mama, you know, goes out and plays a part of a prostitute. She has a child. And then that child, about 10 generations are in the Bible. They couldn't come back into the congregation of the righteous. And that's called visited iniquity. But had you ever thought about that you and I, once iniquity entered the scene in the Garden of Eden, that we have been under iniquity ever since? You ever thought like that? We are under visited iniquity because of the representation of our mom and daddy. I'm not talking about the mom and daddy, the one that we got now. I'm talking about our mom and daddy back under when it started in Genesis. I know where the blood of Jesus Christ will take away that iniquity. I know in the new birth it stops that iniquity, but it still don't stop this flesh from being products of iniquity. It don't matter if mom and daddy are Christians, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever. The little baby they have is sin. It's not a Christian because mom and daddy's one. It's a product of iniquity. The same curse that was put on it in the original. What I like about it is this. There's visited iniquity, and you can see it 10 generations, and you can see it on man ever since we started, but God visits righteousness unto 1,000 generations. Now that's what I like. That's what the Bible says about it. See, I want to get this out of the way where we can get on to some things like that to see how to get rid of iniquity, because this seal book, these seals that the prophet speaking to us in the last days, that wasn't for the redemption of the soul. It reveals that. But people were already redeemed before the seals were ever preached. But this seals that was on the book that the prophet preached about is to show us how this body is redeemed. Then we would have to see what the fall was to see why we need redemption. Then now we see the iniquity that we were born in is what caused us to be the way we are. We know better than to do things. A conscience, as I said this morning, which is a moral obligation. That conscience in a baby, it'll come up and get a little bitty baby, pretty good size, and it says, "Now, I know I ought not steal that cookie, but yet it'll go do it anyway." Why? It's a product of iniquity. When the little feller comes up to a place that God requires salvation, he becomes a sinner and must be saved. See, because then he knows. Then look at it now. We saw why this morning that we're like we are. Brother Branham, I'm glad he would make statements like that. He'd bring out Hebrews 6 and said this morning, of he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And he'd show that there is no sacrifice there. Then he'd turn around in a little while and he'd say, but we all sin willfully. And he explained that. He says, a Christian don't sin, said they make mistakes. We do things in mistakes. Why? We know better. Man standing there and a pretty woman walks by. You can't help what you see. You can't help seeing that woman walk by, or a man. Woman can't help see a man walk by that's a nice looking man or something. They can't help seeing that. You can't help seeing this naked, ungodly generation that's out here. Why do you think Brother Branham, now we want to put him up so high and us down here, but he said, I've got a cross in my car. You ever heard him say it? So I've got a cross hanging in my car. He said, when I see that, he said, I turn to that cross. Oh, Brother Branham. Brother Branham was honest. That'd make us better off if we'd be that way. He said, no red-blooded American could pull a woman to his breast without a sensation. Now that settles it. He knew what he was talking about. He was human. He said, I see a woman like that. He said, I turn back to that cross. He knew if he meditated on it, what would happen. All right. Say, here I am. I see a pretty woman walk by. I can't ever see that. Ain't nothing I can do about seeing that. I ain't no way in the world I can go around looking like that. They climb up in the tree. You know that, to get you to see them. Why is it? Let me ask you and see if this don't work. Now, you know better than to do good and don't do it. Let's just see if it'll work right here in one little thing. Let me give you one illustration. And you tell me it ain't right. I'll tell you there's something wrong with you. Now, you tell me what it is, and then we'll answer how the answer to it. Why is it that some people walk in the door of this church and close that door so quiet until you couldn't even hear it when it clicks? But some people come in and bam, the door slams. You know better than slam the door because you've done been told that too many times. You know better. Why is it? Let me just get personal. Why is it? Joyce, why is it when you come in, you walk in, close that door so quiet? I've watched this now for a long time without saying anything. You want me to tell you what it is? Joyce knows who she is. She don't have to have attention. She don't want the world to see her. She don't have to have attention. She closes the door real quiet. If I miss this, you tell me about it. You never hear a peep out of people like that. But a person knows better than to do it because it's been said and said and said and said, don't slam the door, don't slam the door. You disrupt the people while they're praying. Don't slam the door. Here they come in, bam, slam the door. You watch it in every place you ever go. You watch one person. I sat in our day watching them while we was eating, watching them come out of the bathroom. Here comes one person out with a down head just walking around. Here comes another person out. They want everybody there to see them. And they're looking around. They want everybody there to see them. You say, what's that got to do with it? That's just to let you know I know what's going on. That's just to let you know that God don't reveal a word to a person that don't tell him the rest of it. You show me a person's got to have attention, I'll show you a baby. I'll show you a baby. Think what you like about me. Does it fit the word? Think what you like about me. You're going to face this word. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it, so to say, and go. Why does one person come in and slam a door? Other person comes in and don't slam the door, goes quietly. You mean everybody can't remember? You can remember. You know better than to do it and do it anyhow. That's illustrations to you. Now, I'm just as honest, and Joyce, I didn't mean anything by calling your name. I'm just honest and truthful. I've watched that. Now, if that don't fit into what I'm talking about right now, you come tell me how the service is over and I'll apologize to you. There's a lot of people said I've said things about them that I didn't say. And I don't have to apologize, but if they'll come tell me, if they'll let me know I have, if they'll tell me directly their self, I'll apologize. It don't matter where I'm right or wrong. I've done it before. I'll do it again. But no. See, the mystery of iniquity is working in me and you. That's why the seals had to be preached. For the redemption of the body. Nobody in no church age knowed how to handle and take the body to a place that it could be changed. I don't care if you want to call it Peter and them that taught the faith of the fathers. They still didn't have the capstone to come down to reveal to them what it'd take to change them, did they? I didn't say it was down. I didn't say anything about that because I can't run off no more than what I already have. Ain't very many left to run off. I guess I've done a good job at that because we started out here with a church that's down back plumb full. And we've been down a whole lot lower than what we are now. But I'm trying my best to be honest and truthful with me and you. And I'll have to face God one of these days for every word I say. You won't have to face Him for what I say, but I will. I'll have to come under this seal in a minute. We might find out that me and you are the anointed ones in the end time. Because that's exactly where this goes to. Every scripture the prophet would use, check it and see. When he would talk about iniquity, look the scripture he quoted. He had a string of scriptures that long, if you want to look them up in your concordance, of iniquity. And you know what he used? They'll come to me in that day and they'll say, have not I cast out devils in thy name, done many mighty wonderful works? And he said, I'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's got to be your anointed one's end time. And nobody else can say they cast out devils and all like that in his name. Because where are we going to now? Watch it. We saw Lucifer kicked out of heaven this morning. Why? Because of iniquity. Let's watch it in something that Brother Branham called the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You know what that Nico means, conquer the laity. Well, that's the best place to start is in the pulpit, ain't it? Because that's the guy that conquers the laity. That's the people, that's the preachers, plural, fivefold ministry, that conquers the laity. Then you can come down and see how it's the deacons and the other parts of the working of the church and then the people over each other working it. And it becomes the same Nicolaitan doctrine. Brother Branham covered that on the first seal when he was talking about it. He said, it started out just as a little saying, he said, page 160 and 161 through 163. Of the seal book, check it and see. He said, just a little saying among the people. He said, then the first thing you know it, begin to build. He said, don't we need to have a nicer, in other words, explain one time like this. He said, don't we need to have a nicer church? The reason I said it comes all the way down to the laity. I've been told if we had a nicer church up here, we'd have a bigger congregation. I've been told, Brother Dale, we'll help you. We'll put you in a bathroom. I said, if a church wants one, let them put one in. I'll help them. I'll give them more money than anybody does on it. I'll pay for it if you put it in. Brother Dale, this brother told me that if you had a little nicer building, that it would just be nicer to have a nicer building to bring the people to that you introduced to them in the message. Said, take them up out of that old building. Same old spirit still working. That ain't even a preacher. Neither one of them two that I'm talking about in my mind right now was a preacher. One of them was Methodist to the core, because that's Methodist idea. Build a church. When I was in the Baptist church, you know what the preacher said? He started to leave us and go to another church. He said, Samuel, he said, they're just about out of debt. He said, quick as they get out of debt, we'd just done a bunch of work on the building. We had a pastor and paid for. We had a church paid for. We didn't owe anything. And he got some work done to get things and put in this and that and the other. He said, quick as we get that paid for, they get that paid for, I said, get them in debt again. I know then there's something wrong with that. He said, you keep a church in debt, said it'll grow. Sorry to say, Brother Brown said prostitution went up last year. Does that mean anything? That's truthful. That's the way he said it when he was referring to that part of it. He said, we talk about numbers. Oh, we got big churches. We've done all this, that, and other. He said, prostitution went up last year. Was God in that? Sure, I'd love to have 50 million people listening to me tonight. Any minister would love to have a big congregation to preach to. But when they won't do it, you just have to preach to what God will send you and where He sends you. See, that little Nicolaitan spirit. Oh, it's... Now watch it like in something I told you the other day. I was talking about the spirit that is among the land of the people of the message that they've got scared now. They don't know what's going to happen, which way to go. And that little fear, that's the first step of organized religion. You remember me talking about that? That little fear that gets in them and says, now you've got all this message right. Write your creed books and things and put your title to them, and boy, you'll have it then. And that's the first spirit of organized religion. And your deeds of the Nicolaitans come right down through there, didn't it? You read what the prophet said on 163 there that I give you, where he says that they want it, they desire it, and God allows it. They desire to be deceived, and God allows a lie to be brought. The same lie. So you see how down through the ages it's always been there? But no one knew what it was. What do you think it was? Now watch the prophet. A great man like Polycarp, that you know he told of his story, how that he was in such a great honorable Christian until he wouldn't even let them hide him during the days of the Books of Martyrs that you find in Fox's Book of Martyrs when they were killing the Christians. He wouldn't allow them to hide him. Great honorable man like that. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't accept him as a church age messenger. And you know why? Brother Branham said the only thing that I know he done that the Holy Spirit wouldn't accept, he said he leaned towards organizations. He just wanted to get the brethren together. He just tried to love the brother, what we call now a great Christian. But the Holy Spirit says, don't pick him for a messenger. Yet Brother Branham taught more in that church age about Polycarp than he did about Irenaeus. You check it and see if he didn't. He mentioned him more than he did the messenger of the age because he was so great a man. Every man that's ever been on the face of the earth was always deceived by that Antichrist. No one has ever known how to take this flesh out of this world. No man has ever come to that revelation of how to take this flesh out, because that's what them seals is for. And God hadn't took the seal off to where you could see it. But listen, see how the people, now watch this little point, down through the ages, see how the people begin to split up and form different types of denominations because of the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, whatever you want to call them. You know why that took place? There was a spirit there wanting to rule the laity. It couldn't rule them in one form, so it moved to another one. Now you can go anywhere you want to and do anything you want to, and they won't preach against it. If you want to cut your hair, you can go down to this Methodist church and they won't say anything. If you want to wear a bathing suit to church, you go on down to another type of church and they'll let you do that and won't say anything to you. If you want to go buck naked and have sex affairs, you can go find you a church that will allow that right in the congregation to show that they can be redeemed, even homosexual acts committed in the congregation to show they can be saved. Now that's how far it's went. And you know what Satan's idea has always been? Denomination. What does denomination mean? When we was in school, we got a common denominator. Wasn't that what it was? Something to divide with, you know. Divisions. A common denominator. A denomination. That's what it is. It's a division. And Satan's idea has always been, watch, God's idea was to bind the people together. One chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. See, it just keeps gaining ground. But Satan's idea has always been to divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And as long as he can do that, he's got you conquered. As long as he can divide us, he's got us conquered. But God's idea was always to bring together. Come together. Come together. Watch this now. See how it's always been in the children of disobedience according to Ephesians 2 and 2. It's always been the children of disobedience. Read it. Ephesians 2 and 2. It's the children of disobedience. They know better to do it. They do it anyhow. That's the children of disobedience. We're not even in that stage, church. We're not even in that place. Your Antichrist mystery of iniquity coming down to where we are now is the children of disobedience, because I'll find it for you if you'd like. I just didn't think about it when I was writing the notes. Brother Branham said, how much more is a man a deceiver? The stage now just prior to that, that me and you by the eye of faith can see him sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, as the Pope says, I forgive your sins, as the Baptist says, put the money in the collection plate, we got it all took care of. You think they don't say that? You tell me they don't say it, I was Baptist. What about this old brother over here that comes to church? He's doing a little bit wrong. Yeah, but don't say nothing to him because he gives a lot of money. I was there, I ought to know. I was there enough to know it. You know that's the truth, too. Any human mortal would know that's the truth. But now listen, how much more would it be in an hour of the man of sin to see him than to see a child of disobedience? You see where we're at now then, don't you? How much more deceiving can a man be than a child? The hour we're living in is the worst of all then. So let's watch this in our day, because Paul here said not in his time. What did he say up in verse 3? Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let nobody come and tell you the man of sin's here. Ain't that what he simply said? Don't let nobody deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he's saying, get it out of your mind that it's going to happen now. But said it will happen down there in the end. That's where it's at now. But it's to be made known when he breaks the seal. Watch. The man of sin will be made known when he breaks the seal to the bride. I didn't say to Israel now. We'll cover that later when he really makes it known. Or it becomes made manifest as Satan incarnate, the man of sin. She and she alone catches the mystery. Me and you are the only ones, the bride, ain't talking about this church, the bride of Christ around the world, is the only one that knows the mystery of the Antichrist. The denominations say, well, it might be this. And another one says, it might be that. Brother Branham said it didn't say it might be this and it might be that. He told you right down the line what it was and proved it by the Scripture. Now watch the hour of deception that's now upon the people. I told you, I ain't talking about nobody else. Now watch this little point. Watch one little point. What would it matter now? I talked to the brothers about Daniel 70 weeks this way last night down the minister's meeting. I ought to talk this way to you. What does it matter if you could find a book? I told them that where you could find one book that proved, thus saith the Lord, there's only 3.5 years left. Or you could go find a book that said, thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham had it in black and white. Thus saith the Lord, or a tape somewhere that would say there's 7 years left. What would that help you? It'd help you beat the man over the head with it. See, boy, I tried to tell you all along now. I stuck with this word. There's not one dab of redemption there either, is there? If I knew a list of names of every person that was in this message, and how many of them was genuine bride, and how many of them was the mystery of iniquity, the anointed ones at the end time, if I knew how many and who was on what side, where would that redeem me? What would that have to do with me? Then I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about me and you. You say, yeah, but you've got so-and-so in mind. No, as I said, it wouldn't do me no good if I knew. I've got me in mind. I'm the one that's got to make this rapture. God is an individual person to each one of us individually. It wouldn't do you no good to know I was the devil himself. Where would that redeem you? Say, where would that change you if you knew? Might change you from this building to somewhere else, but that's the best you'd do, wouldn't it? That wouldn't redeem you at all, and this book is a book of redemption. Then if we can find out if we, now listen, we can find out if we are in that iniquity, then we can be helped. We say, oh, we're not in that, then there is no help for us. That's as truthful as I can say it, because we're still here and we ain't changed. And the seal book, I'll say the seal book, not the seal book, the seals, is the entire mystery of redemption. How to get us redeemed. So it wouldn't help me to know who wasn't going to be redeemed, would it you? No. So let's just don't even let that come around, yeah? Say, well, you're picking on this, you're picking on that. Well, you go home and think what you want to. You got to answer to God. I know what I'm thinking. I wrote the notes. I can read them, I guess, as Brother Woodby said one time. I wrote my own notes. I guess I can read them. But let's don't look at others. Let's look at ourselves. Because it would do us no good to know if our brother or sister was the Antichrist. Ain't that true? But it might help us to know if we are. So I'm talking about me and you. And anybody else hears these tapes. Is it God or is it the Antichrist? We're on one side or the other. There's only two powers. The seals are for the redemption. They reveal redemption unto us. That will have to do with me. Not whether or not you're the Antichrist, that has nothing to do with me. It's whether or not the seals can be revealed to us. People in the message, because even those in the message will look at others that they can see, even those in the message, for the mystery of iniquity. In other words, they look at people in the message trying to find the mystery of iniquity. That's not going to do us no good. I'm sorry, that won't help us. But the revelation of the seals will, because it'll reveal the Antichrist in us. We've already seen we were products of iniquity. The new birth took care of the iniquity for our soul, made a way for the body to be redeemed, but the body's not redeemed yet. It's still a product of iniquity. So we saw this morning's message of the mystery of iniquity, how it works in us. Now let's watch something just for a minute. Because Lord willing, we'll try to take communion tonight just because we've missed it so long. Now let's watch it under the revelation of this first seal, and maybe we'll see how close it is to the genuine. Let's watch it under the seal now and see how close it really is to the genuine. Because Brother Branham starts out back yonder with it, brings it all the way down here to where we're at. He says on Be Certain of God, page 4, that this is the hour of it. This is the hour that we've come down to. Be Certain of God. Page 4, let's just see what he says. I want to just read to you a little bit and then we'll be through. Sometimes faith will do miracles and still doesn't come from a spiritual heart. Did not our Lord say, many will come to me in that day and say, have not I did this and that in your name? And I will confess to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? It's something that you know to do right and don't do it. I never knew you, he will say, and we're living in that day. We're living in that day when the people will say, have not I done things in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me. They're doing it right now all across the land, things in God's name. So then what would it make any difference? If I could stand here tonight and call your name, telephone number, address, and tell you all your thoughts, where would that do us any good? That ain't redeemed none of them yet. The man that had the greatest gift and never missed one time calling them out like that, he wasn't redeemed. He went to the grave. That didn't change him. That's not what'll bring him out of the grave when he is changed. It's dying in faith that brings him out, not his gifts. See, this is the real hour of the deception of the Antichrist. This hour, me and you living. Now let's see if the prophet proves that. 32 and 33 of Thinking Man's Filter. He said, many will come to me in that day, and Lord, haven't I cast out devils? Have not I done many things, done this? He'll say, I didn't even know you, you worker of iniquity. When the word was placed right before you, and you still suck that old filter of the world, see, shows the taste that was in the heart. Now, in case I forget it, he said here, you take the word, it's placed right before you. You still suck that old filter of the world. It proves what's in the heart. When people, I think it's on the next page of my notes, but it's a good place to put it in, right behind that quotation from Brother Branham, so you'll see it. The people of this message, when Brother Branham was standing preaching these messages, would they dare do the things they're doing now? Now you know that, don't you? They wouldn't dare do the things they're doing now. He came off the field because they taught him as deity, and they stopped it. And they repented. He said that he said they repented of what they were doing. They said, Brother Branham, it just looks so this way. But what happened when he died? Where are they at today? You'd probably find a lot of them deity people. What happened? Why was it they would agree and sit, and you can take these passages from the tape and listen, and those men screaming, Amen, when Brother Branham would say something. Where are they today? They knew then he was preaching the truth, and they amended it. Today, where are they? They knew better than to say anything while he was there. But that spirit that was on their spirit screamed amen to the word, because it will agree with every word, the Holy Spirit will. And if you got the Spirit anointed on your spirit, you'll sit right there and agree with the word while you're in this church. But when you walk out of that door and go home, you'll let Satan get on your back, and you'll let him tell you, say, Brother Dale was really talking about so and so. You just let the inside person talk to you. Because if the Holy Spirit talked to you, it's the Holy Spirit that stood here and said it, then it'll have to agree with what I said. Now, it might not have been the Holy Spirit that said that to me a while ago. You can judge that. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But if it was the Holy Spirit, and you go home and you take some other different version, then you'll find out whether you got the Holy Spirit or not. Okay? That's as truthful as I can be to me and you. I've done that before myself. But now I know what it is. And heaven help me anymore. I've always had an ability to believe what people told me. And didn't try to figure out what they're talking about. And God help me to be more that way. I don't want to know what you think about me. I'd rather just know now what we are. The Word will do it. He said, when the Word was placed right before you, and you still suck that old filter of the world, you know what's in your heart. You show me a woman goes out here and they tell me, "Oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to go in the rapture." And then you see her tomorrow with a bikini out on the beach. Now, don't tell me that. We know better than that. And she does. Why is a woman set around, you know? None of you ladies here do it. I'm up here and I watch you. I'm honest. You're nice dressed ladies. Now, I don't see you pulling on. I've seen you back a few years ago when some of you did. You'd pull them skirts and try to stretch them over your knee. Now, when you're doing that, you know that there's something wrong. Ain't that true? You know there's something wrong there. You know better than to do it that way. I'm glad they come up with this, what they call it? What kind of material is this stuff? Knit stuff. It sure does stretch good. It come through a bad time. See, you needed it. But you don't need it anymore. Just put a little more material in. It'll take care of itself. Now, that might be a little comical, but it's true, too, ain't it? You know. You children know how to behave yourself. You know how to dress and act and what to do. And you know what's wrong with you when you don't. That goes for me and you. We know better than to do it. But what I'm trying to get us to see is by the message the prophet taught us, we can know whether we're the Antichrist or not. We can know how to get rid of it if we find it. Like I said this morning about the last message I preached on occupy till I come. What did he do? When God comes to the earth, he's going to say, now there's some squatters there that you need driving off your territory. What are those squatters? The works of the flesh. Those squatters are not me. I'm not sitting on your territory. If I could just get rid of Brother Dale, he's my thorn in the flesh. No, that wouldn't help you a bit. That ain't going to put you in the rapture. I might be the thorn in your flesh that'll get you in the rapture because I might be the one that haunts you enough to get you, you know, a thorn that aggravates you and you keep scratching, doing something, you get it out. I might be the one that aggravates you enough till you get your life straightened up. But you see where we're at? You see what the Word is bringing out to us and the prophet's bringing out to us of the mystery of iniquity? Because that's what he covered under the first seal before he ever even started. Was the mystery of iniquity. But now watch it. We found there that you can have the Word. It'll be right there before you. And you still suck the old filter. Now watch this, page 44 of the Anointed Ones, the End Time. And now I suggest to you, if you want to really get the point of what Brother Branham's talking about in the mystery of iniquity, is to read the first seal. To read Thinking Man's Filter. And to read the Anointed Ones at the End Time, and you'll really see what he's talking about. On the mystery of iniquity. Because on the Anointed Ones, the End Time, he's talking about, everybody knows, the Anointed Ones, the End Time. Then watch what he says here on page 44. What did he say? Notice, you worker of iniquity. Right before then, he said, I cast out devils. The weeds will come and sit right down with the wheat. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I spoke in tongues. I shouted. I danced in spirit. I cast out devils. I spoke with tongues. I've done all these things. What did he say? Notice, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you know you ought to do, and you won't do it. Now, that's not changing from he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. You know what the Scripture said about that? It's a sin. That's not changing that iniquity is knowing to do good and doing it not. What's he said it was? He says, knowing you ought to do it, and you won't do it. That's right, reverse, looks like, but it's the same definition. What would be the difference in the definition of knowing better to do something and go on and do it, or knowing you ought to do something and won't go do it? Both of them's iniquity. Same definition. They know that word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. You see God say so. You see Him confirm it, make it true. And you know this just as plain as the sun shining outside. But you that'll hold on to your denomination, hold on to these false things, you worker of iniquity. Oh yes, I had great campaigns. I done this, I done that. Said, you depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Anointed one to end time, man. A person has the anointing on their spirit. Page 23, does God change his mind about his word? Oh, this brother can do this, this brother can do that, and deny the word. Though I speak with tongues of man and angels, though I have gifts that I can move mountains, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, I am yet nothing. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in your name? Have not in your name I've cast out devils and done mighty works? And I will say unto them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never even knew you. Yet they come with a confession that they have did it, but Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? It's something you should do that's right to do, yet you don't do it. See what it's going to be in the last days? Hear the whole line. You see what it is you're in the last days then, don't you? One more and then we'll be through. 54, spoken word is the original seed. Joyce, would you come? Before we take the communion, we always try to sing a hymn. If anyone has a need, get rid of the things in your life or whatever. That's right. They could work miracles. The Bible said that in the last days that devils would rise working miracles and would deceive the people. Awful hard, brother, but you must know the truth. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I did this and did that and so forth in your name? He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What is iniquity? Something that you know that's wrong and you do it anyhow. You know that God's word is right. Why do you play the hypocrite? Because your organizations and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it because of your organization and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it, you worker of iniquity. He said, depart from me. I never even knew you. Now that's your either way through hell here or hereafter. Then he goes on talking about Jannes and Jambres withstanding Moses. Read the rest of it. But listen, how close is it today? They sit under the word when the prophet was here. And then when he left, they let something else become the interpreter of what was said. That is iniquity. They knew better. But they did it anyhow. Why? Because of their organizational belief. That's in me and you. People say, I'm reading it off of here, they let the interpreter that's in their soul take over. So it is now in our day. People say, I talk to God and God talked to me. Now listen. People say, I talk to God and God talked to me. But you hold iniquity in your heart and God won't hear you. Scripture says that. You know to do good and won't do it, God won't hear you. You know better than to do what you do and you go do it anyway, God won't hear you. We've got the scripture laying right here on Psalm 66 and 18. A man that wasn't even born again knew better than the people of this message know. They can just override and sear their conscience till it no longer bothers them what they say or do. You know better. So don't do it. The psalmist David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66 and 18. You know better than to do it and you go do it anyway. Don't tell me you talk to God and God talks back to you. Uh-uh. Now don't tell me that because I'm done too far. I know what happens in my life. I do something that I shouldn't do and I know better than do it and I do it. I know what happens to me. Brother Branham said God goes out on a limb. And oh, how lonely it gets when he goes out there. How lonely it becomes when he goes out on a limb. But don't worry about it. He's not very far from you. His brother Ryan said he just wanted you to invite him back. Just ask him to come back. He said he'll come back. See, he's not very far from you anyway. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it's come down to this hour that we're living. And you and I can see the mystery of iniquity. We can see tonight that we're controlled by one person or the other. And that's what the seal reveals. We say, well, I can see the Antichrist. That's the Pope. No, that's the second stage. That's the second stage. The Antichrist is a spirit. You say, Brother Dale, Antichrist is anti-word. It takes a spirit to be anti-word. There has to be a spirit on us to make us anti-word. Let's stand together and just sing a hymn, just a verse. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. Before we take the communion, just make sure you get rid of everything. Let's sing the Old Rugged Cross, number 3. If you have anything in your heart and life, then get rid of it now before we take the communion, because the communion message, we'll read it in a minute and you'll see it fits exactly what the prophet says here and all the things that we've come down to. Let's sing this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. What are you going to do now? So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Prepare your heart for the communion now. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a all hearts cleared. You may be seated. Brother Colley, would you pray the communion? I forgot the jugs this morning, and when we were here, I set them out, but I forgot to bring them back. I mean, to take them home with us, so just forgive me for that. We won't have the foot washing. We'll just have the communion. If you want to follow along in the reading of your scripture, we hadn't had our communion now in a couple of months, so we'll just have it. It's not the first of the month, but we'll have it. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You see where our trouble's at? If I hold iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. Then if I know better to do something, I go do it anyway. Then Paul says, I'll drink the cup unworthily. And by doing that, I'll drink damnation upon my own self, not discerning the Lord's body. Be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, and let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now he ain't talking about a person sleep as dead. They must have, because you don't write about a dead person like that. There must have been people there that had not discerned the Lord's body. And in doing that, they wound up sick. They wound up weak. And some of them was asleep. Maybe they'd spiritually just went to sleep. Maybe they had literally died because they didn't do anything. Maybe they would, but still, the Holy Ghost used the word sleep. It didn't say dead, like Jesus said when they came to him and said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and Jesus said, yeah, there everyone dead. That means eternally separated. But when you sleep, that doesn't mean eternal separation. For if we would judge ourselves, and we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let's stand together. Said for us to tarry one for another, let's just have a moment of silent prayer, praying one for the other, that the Lord would guide us, be with us. Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said that when it came to take the communion, that he gave thanks. Let's just pray over the bread. Father, we thank you for this natural bread. It has been made, Lord, with no leaven in it. Nothing to be have to be added to Jesus. He's Jesus enough. Lord, just sanctify this bread. As it's a symbolic form of your body is the Word. We ask you that as we take this bread, that if there's any sick here, that they would see that they're taking thy Word into their inner being, and that then as they drink the wine, it will stimulate that Word, and it will say, by his stripes I am. There's any here, Lord, that are backslidden, that would take this communion. May they remember this also, that when they drank the wine, that it would say unto them, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. Bless us all together. Forgive our sins. Lift us up in you. Sanctify this bread. Sanctify your people. In Jesus' name. It was a broken body. We believe in breaking the bread. We don't believe being like we used to be, the Baptist, we used to order it. When we order it, we just keep it. Children eat it. Pretty well typical what we believed. We just didn't care. But yet, we believe in taking the bread, breaking it, and then as we do, we believe it's the body of Jesus Christ in representation. Wine represents his blood, our stimulation to the Word. Let's pray over the wine. Father, we ask you that you would just sanctify this wine by your Word as we are about to partake of it. We believe, Lord, that it would be a stimulant unto our natural man, and that in that, Lord, it will start a moving of the blood cells. Father, as we know that in the natural, may we see in the spiritual that it will start a moving among us. In Jesus' name we ask you.